Good morning. Thank you for attending today. My name is Kristen Standish. I'm the publisher of Boston Magazine, and I'm really so excited to introduce Cindy today. I had a prepared couple of words I was going to say about Cindy, but then I heard something so much better that I loved. Cindy, as you all know, is tough as nails, but what you might not know is her own colleagues and staff refer to her as the construction dominatrix. And I myself, given a second choice in a career, would love to be a dominatrix. I'm just saying, so I think it's appropriate that I'm here to introduce her. So a construction dominatrix, in my mind, that conjures up Jessica Rabbit and a mouth of a truck driver with a wicked bad Boston fucking accent, okay? So, without further ado, I am so excited that I got rid of this, and I'm about to introduce Cindy and Liz. And just so you know, if Cindy's freaking out a little bit, sometimes she has anxiety attacks, so she's always good to go to ask for a Xanax. So, without further ado, please welcome Cindy and Liz.
I gotta give you mwah. How is everybody? I love it. Trish, you're gonna start us off, actually.
So I'm gonna start with a little video to introduce you guys, but I think you already know her, but Cindy Stumpo. So watch the screens.
Growing up in my home, family was huge. You did not go to sleep without calling every grandparent and saying goodnight. My father gave us a lot, but with those materialistic things that he gave us, they instilled real good values. I'm 18 and I'm finding my way. And every time I sat down with my family, what do you want to study? I want to be a builder. And my father kept going, what do you mean you want to be a builder? I've never seen a female builder out there. And I come from a very liberal family, and I'm blown away. By the time I got to Wentworth, I got pregnant with Samantha. You have to get your license, which is called a general construction license. And I walked into this room, and there were probably about 120-plus guys taking the test. And I went, any females in here? I'm out there now. C. Stompo has started. You're dealing with guys twice your age. They forgot more than you know. You're battling this female-male thing. You're leaving your baby to go to work, and you're feeling a lot of guilt. Those are my babies. And then you're coming home after getting tortured all day out there. You know, there were May nights, Candy. I went home, and I said, I don't feel like a girl anymore. I don't do a final walkthrough. I do a final knee walkthrough because I'm on my hands and my knees and cleaning everything myself. From the walls down to the floor to every fixture to everything. It takes a group to have a winning team. And I am who I am because I had a great group around me. I am probably the most loyal person you'll ever meet in your entire life. The shirt would be off my back in 3 seconds.
What were the keys to your success?
Hard work, great work ethics, loyalty, respect, standing behind your product. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. You spend 25 years doing something, you will become the best at it. My standards are always much higher than they should be. And those guys that were like gorillas pounding on their chests, if Stumpo's building 12, I'm going to build 20. You go for it, buddy. But Stumpo's still standing. I've always been a leader. I've never been a follower. This is my company. We are going to do it my way. I'm a North Shore girl all the way. Those roots are embedded in you. And you know what? I don't ever want them to leave me. How's that?
Aha. This is one hot lady.
You hold and pass, okay?
All right, I'll hold and pass.
Okay.
I got to tell you the first time I met Cindy, because it's kind of a funny story. And the fact that we ended up here today was purely coincidental.
Yes.
Karma. It's actually karma. I met Cindy about 3 years ago now when I was just beginning to try and figure out what is Liz going to do in her next chapter? Because as many of you know, I left Channel 5 a year ago and launched my own business. Thankfully, yay, I'm an entrepreneur and it's going well. And I have always had an interest in construction. And so I blindly and bravely reached out to Cindy just to say, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to do next. But this has been one of my passions. Am I crazy? And of course, she told me I wasn't crazy. But Cindy is one of those people who is a wonderful mentor to so many young women. And when we realized we were going to be working together today on this project and meeting with all of you, Cindy started telling me about what she does every single morning when she goes to this diner and has breakfast and meets up with these young people from Pine Manor. So you truly, you live the role of mentoring, you mentor so many people. Tell us the diner story. Every morning she goes to breakfast. What's the name
first
of this place?
So let's go back. Liz came out to a job site in Belmont.
I did.
She fit the part perfectly. The right boots, the right jeans, the right jacket. She looked like a construction worker from the word go. I'm like, this looks good. You're wearing this well. Good. So every morning, yes, I do start my day off at a diner. And there's where I live is in Chestnut Hill, and where I build is basically Chestnut Hill, Newton, and Brookline. And there's always these young girls coming and having breakfast from Pine Manor College. And I just sit there, and I'm sitting by myself hoping I don't have a panic attack, being alone. And I always put myself and listen to other people's conversations. That's me. And I hear that, you know, oh, I owe all this money in student loans, and I'm graduating. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And I always turn to them, and I'll say, how old are you? And they look at me like I'm some nutcase, whatever. 22, 23. It's okay. You're not supposed to know what you want to do at 21, 22, 23. We're all finding ourselves at that age. But with that being said, we start talking, and then one thing leads to another, and I end up with three new girls working for me. And
seriously,
you know, it's like, okay, well, whenever you guys want to come in and step in, I'll find hours for you, I'll find time for you. And that goes on all the time. And I actually meet them all at this diner. It could be a Sunday morning I'm there, a Monday morning, but I'm there every morning. And I meet young girls there every day. And I just get so caught up and involved with their lives that you think you're out there and you think you're making a difference or you're trying to make a difference. And I think I am. But what I do out there is not easy. It's extremely hard. Mm. So you mentor these young girls and you bring them under your wing, and to find out 6 months or 8 months or a year later, it's just too tough out there. And it really isn't. It comes down to, as I'm sitting up here with zero self-confidence because I don't know if I'm going to have a panic attack on you guys or not, my inside is shaking. I have to relate those feelings of being up here with them in the field. See, when I'm in the field, guys, I'm not having anxiety. I'm not having panic. I'm very comfortable in my skin. So when they get out there and they're trying to do what I do that comes natural, they're panicked, they're anxiety-ridden, and they're intimidated by men out there. And that really sucks because we are so, we are so much stronger than they are out there in construction world. I can't speak about your business or your business. I can talk my business. Everybody thinks construction workers are these big, rugged, you know, guy type guys.
Hello.
Okay. I might as well bring tea and crumpets every day and donuts to my job site because they sit there, 50 of them at a time, gossiping. Okay?
You even say that you're running a daycare center.
I run an adult daycare center, but I think the funniest part is I maybe will have 9 jobs going and I have only hit 3. But I already know what's going on the other 5 or 4 or maybe 3, and I'll go, and you know that because how? Oh, I went by there or I called. Aren't you supposed to be paying attention to this job? You're on this job. Why do you care what's going on that job? So what I'm trying to say is that women in construction can be fabulous at this job, better than fabulous.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, though, too. I think some of the statistics that I have learned is something like 3 million plus.
Give me the water.
You know, have the water. 3 million plus construction workers, developers in the country, and 200,000 of them are women. Only 200,000 are women.
And that represents not just general contractors,
right,
not just builders, electricians, union workers, structural engineers, civil engineers, architects. So that is very small.
And you're saying that those are good-paying jobs,
though,
that women, thank you, women ought to really seriously consider that. You know, you bring up a point, too, Cindy, about saying how you feel like you lack confidence. And some of that, I know that your dad is a true inspiration for you. But we saw in the video, he basically said girls don't build houses. So somewhere along the way, you developed enough confidence in yourself to say, I'm going to go build houses anyway.
But
where
you know what, Liz?
From?
It was said off the hip. And I think he was just floored for a second. And I think the other part was he had to write a check to me for a few hundred thousand to get me going. Okay? So the truth is that it came out really fast. It was not long-lived. He looked right at my mother. You see, no one puts the other 2 minutes of the story behind it was when I said that to my father. Really, guys, within 2-3 minutes, he looked at my mother and said, okay, what do we have in the house checking account? And she gave the amount. He goes, write her a check. And she's like, oh, you want me to write her?
So what?
She's 23 years old. You want me to give her, you really trust her? And my father said, if anybody can do this out here, Beverly, it's going to be Cindy. So write her the check and let's do what we have to do here. So the comment was made, but the comment that came right behind it was, okay, you know
that's
what?
The belief in you that you could absolutely do
it. He wasn't sure if I could build the house. He just knew the personality was there
right.
to do what I wanted to do, and I was going to succeed. You know, in today's generation, I have this saying that for my generation, and probably a good 10 or 15 years behind me, I feared failure. I did not want to fail. That was not an option in no matter what I've done in my life. And even getting divorced in my late 40s, 30s, I'm 50. 40, okay, got
a while
it,
ago.
44, whatever it was. That was a failure to me. So people that don't like failure, they will keep striving. So I see this young group of girls coming up, and they don't fear failure. We have to fear failure. A little bit of fearing failure will give you that tenacity and that oomph to go out there and do what you want to do. And you let nobody stop you from doing these things, not a guy, not a husband, not your kids. You do what's good for you first, because guess what? Your kids are going to grow, and they're going to have their lives. And your husband and you, you know, hopefully knock on plastic, wood. You have a long, great relationship, and one day you're not looking at each other going, well, who are you? Hey, I'm Cindy, remember me? And I'm Bob. Yeah, well, we lost each other about 10 years ago. The whole thing is trying to keep it all together. Your career, your family, your marriage, your relationships. It's so hard. I'm not going to sit here and say to you and blow smoke up any of your asses and say, this is easy. It is not easy. Mm-mm. But it can be done because I'm living proof. I'm doing it every day.
That's the message that you get out there so often to people.
Water.
If I can do it, so can you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so compelled to share that message with people?
Water here. Okay.
I'm good for something.
Because, listen, you know, let's take most of America. And the one good thing about Tough as Nails is I learned America is a very big country. And I had to visit a lot of states and do a lot of interviews across the country. And I realized every time I came back to Boston, wow, I was so happy to be from Boston. We got some backwards people out there in this country. I tell you.
Okay. But not in Boston, right?
No, actually, can I tell you something? We're pretty cool from Boston, okay? I mean, I've been asked some serious, crazy questions on interviews with Tough as Nails. I can't even repeat some of them because they're so bad. But at the end of the day, I know that every time my feet landed back in Boston, I'd be like, thank God, what a great place to raise your kids. What a great place to come from. What a great place to live. What were you asking me? I'm having a senior moment.
That's all right. I'm going to go on because it'll come back again. You started your company at 23. When did you first realize, whoa, wow, I actually am doing it. I'm actually being successful at this.
You know, that's,
when did that hit you?
You know, Ray just asked me that question the other night. When do you enjoy your success? Do you ever? And my mother will ask me, when's enough enough? When do you get to enjoy your life? You know, there's a saying, we have this is our life, this is how big, just take your shoulders. Well, I'm on the back nine, guys. Like, this is where I am. And, you know, how am I going to spend the next back nine? I don't know. But I just keep losing you for some reason. It's that perimenopausal thing. I don't get it. Why it does that? It's the brain.
What I'm trying to get at is, what is your definition of success then?
So back that. Success is, I don't ever enjoy my success because I'm just striving for the next deal and the next kill and the next job and the next. So every once in a while, like, we all have those moments where we hear this great song on the radio. It just puts us in this really fabulous moment or a fabulous time in our lives. And that's when you go, wow, Cindy, you've done a really good job. That lasts a whole 2 seconds, and I'm back off in the real world. But for that 2 seconds that I get to say, wow, Cindy, you really have come a long way. From a girl that hated high school, okay, hated. My father said to me my senior year of high school, please, just graduate. I don't care what you have to do. Just graduate. And then I will pay to get you into a college.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay.
Really appreciate that one.
Those were the old times where you could make a really good donation and get your kid to college. And, you know, so here was a girl that was, not that I couldn't do the schoolwork. It's just I didn't want to do the schoolwork. I know that now. I didn't know that in high school. I was too busy being a social butterfly and running around and, you know, controlling everything that was going on in school except my schoolwork. And, you know, you're following the steps of another sibling that's going, you know, you're walking into classrooms, I'll never forget, oh, you're Craig Leonard's sister. Yeah, this is going to be a great year. And I'm in the back of my head going, oh, no, I'm nothing like him. And the Spanish teacher within a month said, you know, you're nothing like your brother. I said, and she screamed at me. I went, well, whoever said I was? You assume that. I am nothing like my brother. So, yes, I fall behind a sibling that was an academic genius. And there comes me with my C's and D's and my father going, yay, yay. And my brother brings home an A minus and my father's going, what's this A minus here, Craig? And what the hell? She brings home a D and you're all jumping up and down. I bring home an A minus and I'm a loser. Like, what's up here? Don't worry about it. I got to take care of her for the rest of my life. You got to take care of a family one day. And that was the old-fashioned standards. I'm listening going, oh, I'm going to take this free pass as long as I can. And I did. And I wrote that free pass with my parents all through high school. And then when it was time for me to stand on my own 2 feet, I realized I could, and I was going to.
And you
and
did.
There was nothing that was going to stop me.
And you did.
And I did.
I'd say she gets an A for construction.
Well,
and the homes that she builds, they're fantastic. Right?
Yeah,
exactly. You know, you definitely have been successful, a successful woman in a man's world. And I know there are women in here who may not be quite to the extent of a man's world that you are in, but certainly have men peers and colleagues, and they may be few and far between as women in their businesses. How have you been successful as a woman in a man's world?
There's two answers to that question. One is I have the most phenomenal family, and I had my mother and my grandmother and my mother-in-law that helped me raise my kids. So let's not forget what success is here, guys. Success is not just money. Success is not just what you do out there in your business world. It's the whole package. It's your children. It's your relationships. So with that being said, yes, there was a nanny in my house. I don't know what she did. I think she just got tortured for my grandmother and my Italian mother-in-law and my Jewish grandmother, because that's two people you did not want to tangle with. So I think she just got paid to, I don't know, clean. I don't know what she did. But the truth is that I would not have this career, possibly, if I did not have that support of my mother-in-law and my grandmother. And my mother, but my mother was more my age, so she wanted to hang out with me. So she took more of the role of being my buddy. And she'd walk in and she'd see my mother-in-law and my grandmother going head to head. She'd be like, I'm out of this shit scene. This is a shit scene. It's a freak show. I want no part of this freak show. Let them kill each other. So success to me is, that's one side of it. The other is, how'd I make it in the man's world?
Yeah.
I didn't let these guys intimidate. I did. You know what? Let's go back in time. Sometimes we forget.
There have to have been moments where you were intimidated.
They would
so
know.
What did you do to
okay.
get past that intimidation?
First of all, men don't intimidate me. That's number one. That's just always been who I am.
Good girl.
Okay, so I was that girl that had this really incredibly knockout body in high school.
Still
I didn't know I had a face. Four breast reductions later, okay, and I'm not lying. So I walked down the beach, I'd be covered up with shirts, but men never intimidated me. I grew up with a father that taught me, they all suck. Don't listen to them. They're going to tell you whatever you want to hear. They just want to get in your pants. Don't believe anybody but daddy, okay? And you know what? I was right on that one. And that's who I believed in. I believed what my father told me was going to be the truth. So being intimidated by men, no. You're never going to, and I hate to use vulgar language, but I am a builder, and that's all we use all day. No guy is going to mind fuck me ever out here, okay? They can take their best shot. They can try. It's not going to work. I love that reverse psychology. And I just look at them and go, what do I look like, an idiot? Seriously? So men don't intimidate me, but I will tell you this. The first 2 years, or maybe the first year and a half of my career, I was please and thank yous. I was brought up proper. I was brought up to say thank you, please. That lasted about a little over a year, and I went, this is not working. Please and thank yous. These guys don't get that. So what's going to motivate these guys? And then this North Shore girl. Now, remember, I came from the North Shore, and I moved to Newton at 13 and had a complete culture shock. I went out the door, and there were 50 to 100 kids to play with. And then I moved to Newton, and my mother made me walk up this long street to every corner on that street called Dudley Road, and I walked all the way back and go, there's no kids here. Where'd you move us, to Mars? I want to go home. This is no fun. But the end, that all turned out well, too, because I got a lot of different personalities. But to go back to
your success of how you are a woman in a man's world and not being intimidated.
I'm telling you, it's perimenopausal.
I'm keeping it on track.
The please and thank yous went, and it was just like this. Guys, I'm all fucking done. You're going to get the fucking job done. You go to fucking work. I don't want to fucking hear from you. I am fucking done. And everybody just went like this on the job. What was that?
It was the Cindy Hurricane is
and
what it
I
was.
And I just went, and that was it. And it was probably about 2 years into my career, 3 years, my mother said to me, where did you get that mouth? You sound like your father. And I said, why don't you hang out with me for a day and you'll see where I get that mouth from. And she spent the day with me, and I took her home, and I swear to you, this was the conversation. What the fuck did we just do all day? And I went, Mom, you don't swear. No, this is fucking crazy. I went, she goes, these guys are like a bunch of little fucking girls. I am so happy. I was a fucking stay-home mom. I raised my kids. I daddy made the living. And you live in a nutty fucking world, and I'm so happy to be home, and you can swear as much as you fucking want, okay? And she got out of my car like Twinkabell, because she's really not a swearer, and she's like, I remember her walking away from the car going, okay, there's the new Beverly. And I think that's where my mom got it. So, again, the other Cindy came out, that North Shore girl that said, I'm not putting up with this shit anymore, I'm done. So, you know what? Maybe please and thank yous work in North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida. They don't work in Boston, and they definitely don't work in the union world, okay? So when I'm in New York in union world, the Boston union world, that was completely out of the question. So
what would you say to all these women in here? I mean, they're not going to go around swearing on their job sites.
No,
like you're able to do.
You okay? Can't. I can't.
You might want to. You may feel like it. It probably is not wise to do so. So how?
Yeah, actually, sometimes it makes you feel good.
Well, it does make you feel good.
Yeah.
But as a woman in some situations, how do you fight through? How would you recommend women fight through that intimidation factor? They may be the only woman in the room. I know what I tell my clients.
How about,
what would you say?
You're only going on one thing, Liz, here. You're talking about just men intimidating women. How about
women intimidate women?
Yes, women do.
Sometimes that's even worse. We're our own worst enemies.
That's the other thing that I really get really pissed off. When I publicly speak, and I'll do 200-300 women in my house or at an event, but I like to do them in my home because I'm comfortable and I'm relaxed and I'm not going to have anxiety like up here sitting in this uncomfortable chair that I'm rocking in. And I watch the room just separate. It's the late 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds and then my age. And it's my age. It's that 40 to 50s, the late 40s to late 50s, that are intimidating girls like my daughter. They're supposed to be out there helping girls like my daughter. My daughter's 27. She needs guidance out there. She doesn't need you to behave because you're insecure about maybe she might take over your position 10 years from now. Somebody's going to take over all of our positions one day, guys. No matter how high we get up on that chain, we can't stay there forever. There are things that are going to take us down. Our age, our retirement. Prepare the next generation behind us. Men, the greatest thing that I see about men is they stick together. You know, three men go on a... Let's put it very simple. Five men go on a golf trip. One guy cheats. All five are going down for all the other four are all going down for the other guy. Nope, I don't know nothing. Meanwhile, put five women out together and they come home and they're throwing each other under the bus with their husbands. It's like, What am I not getting here? No, women need to learn what loyalty is to other women. And that's the part about women I don't get, and I don't think I'll ever get it. I got another good 10 years out there, so maybe within 10 years I'll get it. We need to help our young... We all have daughters, and maybe we don't. And maybe some of you have nieces or stepdaughters or younger sisters. Let's make it easier for them out there. I can't be one of few that's out there doing it alone. I need the help of other women helping our daughters because they're the next generation. I'm getting old out here. I only have so much, you know, what am I going to be out there at 70 years old? Get the fuck out. I can't. I mean, I can't do this. I mean, I'm getting tired out there. But I don't want to see, and I hear it all the time, Cindy, my boss is the one. Is it a female boss? It always is the female boss. She makes me uncomfortable. She makes me feel like I'm doing, you know, I'm not doing things right and I'm not smart enough. No, we can't do that. We can't do that. Even if they're falling on their faces, it's our job to pick them up and, you know, wipe them off and say, okay, you know what? That wasn't really cool. Wasn't a good move. Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. Don't quit on these young girls. They're already, it's a different generation. They're already scared out there. So it's also women helping women, not just being in a man's world.
Yeah.
It's more that women start to need to stick together more and cut the clucking, guys, cut the gossiping. If I say something, I'm coming directly to you. I will never talk behind your back. I'm going right to the source. If you can't handle that, too bad for you. But I'm not going to talk about my best friend Chris to Sally and Sally to Chris. I'm going right to Chris and I'm going to tell Chris, you're an asshole. And I'm going to tell you why you're an asshole. And you know what? You either respect that or you hate me. But you make your choice. But you know what? You know where you stand with me because I will never backstab another female. I might call you on that phone. And you might not like what I have to say. But you know what? I'd rather somebody call me on the phone and call me out of being an ass than somebody telling me, wow, did you hear what Chris said about Cindy, which gets back to you through five other girls? Really? Seriously? Chris couldn't call me directly and tell me I'm an asshole? I want to know when I'm an asshole. Everybody. Then I've got a daughter that I'll say, did you tell her she's an asshole? No. Why not? Sherry knows. No, she doesn't, Sam. You need to tell her she's an asshole. No, Mom. I don't need to tell her she is. Why, Sam? That's you, Mom. That's not me. Then I take a step back and I realize, okay, you know what? Sammy's got her own approach to doing things. She doesn't need to tell everybody off. And she has less anxiety than me, thank God. But she does it her way. And her way works. But that was when she was 24, 23, 25. Now that she's 27, everybody's an asshole. I'm like, okay, what happened to, I don't need to tell anybody they're an asshole anymore. I can't take people anymore. So if she's 27, 20, turning 28 in March going, I got to tell that person they're an asshole. Then, you know what? I think we just start to get jaded with age and we start to be more comfortable in our own skins. That's why I always say, the perfect age out there for me was 35. I felt like a whole person at 35. In my 20s, I'm just a kid still. Yeah, no one's taking me serious. Okay, good for you. I'm 35. I can still look okay. I can still wear what I want to wear. And I can be accepted as an adult. So 35 to me is a great age. So who's ever 35 in this room, hold your hand up or anywhere close to it.
Yeah, there we go.
You are in the best, 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 best stage of your life. I would take 35 back in a heartbeat.
I'd take 40 back.
Okay, well, you know, after a certain age, anything looks good. But seriously, for me, 35 was a great age. And 35, 36, I don't mean just 35, but you understand what I'm saying. It's just that 33 to 36, and it's just all flowing, and it's all going good, and, you know, then you get to 50 and go,
no,
how
let's
the
not
hell
talk
this
about
happens?
That. How many toughest nails fans do we have in here? Yeah, a few of you. That's fantastic. I want to talk about toughest nails for a bit. Tell me about what it was like for you to be a quote-unquote reality TV star.
Are you trying to cause a panic attack? Okay.
No.
One, I hated it. Two, I was pissed. I was extremely pissed. I signed up for a show on a construction design network called HGTV, and they made me their guinea pig. And I went, okay. Now remember, guys, we sign contracts every day out there. We're all in business. And you believe, you sign the contract, you think the contract's going to go as it says. Next thing you know, you're mic'd up for 12, 13, 14 hours a day, and they're catching everything that goes on. You're in the bathroom, need a tampon, that's on. It doesn't matter.
Never go to the
that's
bathroom.
That's on.
One mic on.
And no matter what you're saying is coming out of your mouth. So they took all the footage back every day. Every day your footage goes back to the network. And they're going, okay, we're liking the background. Well, I'm not liking the background. My show is supposed to be about construction, but what happened was the head of the network said to me, I said, what am I watching on TV? I'm watching my own show under the covers. This really sucks. What are you doing? Well, Cindy, you're so domineering that we had to show the soft side to you. I said, wait a minute, let me get this straight. You have casting call agents out there that are playing builders. I'm your only real builder on HGTV and a female. And I get the drama. And Mike Holmes, that's a casting call out of Canada, is the hero. Please make me understand that. Well, we got to make sure America loves you. And the Bible Belt can't stand me. Do you read the bloggers? They think they think I'm the devil. I've got horns behind my ears. Seriously, we're worried about the Bible Belt? There's a whole country out there. So I was flabbergasted because I didn't go to HGTV. They came to me. You asked me to do a show on a female builder, and then you make me the crazy, the drama queen. I'm going, this sucks. So anyways, we turned into a whole legal battle. But the bottom line came down to, again, gender. And if I had the other gender, I think somebody's recently called me a hermaphrodite, whatever, okay. Wasn't a very nice thing. But this is not a very nice person. But anyways, I think they meant I've got balls. But At the end of the day, if I probably was a hermaphrodite or I had a penis, I would have drama in my show. So with that being said, I wasn't a fan of Tough as Nails. I was a fan of the fact that it took me about 5 or 6 episodes. Your first 5, 6 episodes get locked down the can. Then you realize what to say and what not to say. So we figured a way to unmic me, disconnect wires, and we figured out how not to get bite lines out of me. See, they're good. They're really good, these guys. They'll get you to say, I'm the best builder in Boston, when you never said that. It's amazing, because they'll get you
that. Editing.
Editing is a wonderful thing. So it's taking me all this time to fight the battle with them, which I have. And now, to go back, and actually next week we go back and we start shooting. And this time, I will decide, after I see that pilot episode, if this is the direction that I want to take myself down, then I will do it again. But I will not, everybody says, how could you give up celebrity status? You know what? Take your celebrity status and so stick it. I don't care. That part of it made my world this small. It actually hurt me. It hurt my psyche. It hurt my feelings. Listen to bloggers from Boise, Idaho, say nasty things about you. I'm like, you don't know me, lady. That you have to be so strong-minded to put that computer down and not read those bloggers because you don't know me. You people are knowing me right now. Those people didn't know me. They judged me from a TV show. And again, you can't make everybody happy. And not everybody's going to love you. And I wasn't looking for that. I wasn't looking for you to love me or hate me or talk about my children. One woman did. She was really nasty. She said, can her son do more than golf? And I had to go back on the blog, and I got into big trouble with HGTV. Like, I really cared, by the way. As they're yelling at me on the phone, you can't blog back. I went literally on me as a handle. I said, this is Cindy Stumpo. Can my son do more than golf? Are you kidding me? Are you watching the TV show? He goes to IMG. He's an amateur golfer going pro. He's 16 years old. No, lady, Would it make you feel better if my son was on a street corner shooting heroin in his arm? Would that make you feel better about you? I was so pissed. And then other people were coming out going, this is really not Cindy Stumpo, because she wouldn't talk like this. I'm going, no, this is really Cindy Stumpo. And people coming on, it's a whole blog site, going, no, Cindy wouldn't waste her time. Cindy's wasting her time. I mean, I am talking. This is me, guys. Look it. I'll screw up my grandma. I'll do whatever it takes to show you. This is me. This is me. And people are going, no, that is not Cindy. I'm like, I quit, okay?
One of the things that I think is so wonderful about Cindy is her authentic self. And she's her authentic self wherever she is. And you've sprinkled in throughout our conversation this morning the fact that you do suffer
Oops,
from severe...
Oops, Xanax kicked in. I'm okay now. Hold on. This is better. Okay.
You've sprinkled in being very honest about the fact that you do suffer from severe panic attacks. And you have for a number of years, and I know that's something that was very important for us to talk about today. When you first had your first one, did you know what was happening to you?
No, I was 26 years old, guys. I lost my brother at 28, and I had my first panic attack right then and there. And no, you don't know what a panic attack is. And you run around from doctor to doctor to doctor to doctor because you don't believe that you had a panic attack, and I got rushed to the hospital.
What's happening to you when you're having one?
What's happening? You know, everybody has them a little different, but for me, you go into a fear, a state of fear that is so crippling that the truth is, people, I don't belong where I am today. I belong in home, agoraphobic, door shut, and not coming out of my house. So to deal with these crippling panic attacks, and they're getting worse as I get older, and I went to see a couple of doctors to find out why. And obviously it has to do with that 50 thing, that your body's hormones are going a little out of whack right now, so that's not helping the situation. But panic attacks to me are crippling. And there are two people out there. Ones that don't want to talk about mental illnesses, and then there's me. And I'm not embarrassed of what I have, and I will not let them define me, and I will not... I will not let them humiliate me. I have pulled stunts, guys, that you couldn't even believe out on the highway, on roads, at stops, at red lights. It just happened to me a week ago, and I was in my car, crying hysterical, put the window down. I'm in a big black Range Rover, and this woman's in a little Toyota, and I'm going, please, 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 I'm dying. And I'm crying. I'm dying. Don't leave me. I'm at the red light. Please, please, I'm begging you, pull over your car. And other people look at you like, yeah, okay. They're beeping, they're going by you, they don't care what's happening to you. This girl was probably in her 30s, and she was probably scared, but she did pull over. And she came to my car, she took over the driver's seat. My daughter Samantha was on her way, because I have 1 second to either get a phone call out or the word panic. Because after that, I go into a state of complete, my hands are shaking, and I'm out of control. And it's going to take me a half an hour to reel it back in. And this woman got in my car, really nice girl, and I said to her, I know this was really scary for you. And for all she knew, there's two guys in the back of my car that are going to jump her, rape her, murder her. She doesn't know. It's scary for me. I'm letting strangers in my car. At that point, you're just looking for anybody to help you. Needless to say, all these women, and they've all been women, men just keep walking by me like I'm a crazy lunatic. But all these women end up with these big baskets. I mean, I can't do enough, and I can't... A thank you to them is just not enough. And I'll go out, and I'll have the biggest basket made with gift certificates. So if you ever want to get pulled... If you're ever in Newton or Brookline, and you see me, and you really want this awesome gift, you want to be the one that gets stuck with me with a panic attack. But the truth is... A thank you is not enough for that, because that young girl, 35 years old, was scared, and she got in my car, and her conscience took her over and said, I got to help this woman, and whatever's going to be is going to be. And even I would have thought twice about, do I just, this car is, you know, it's blacked out, it's like looking at a black Caddy Escalade, like, You know, you're going down the wrong neighborhood and you see a black Caddy Escalade. I'm going to go this way. You know, the car's a little intimidating to begin with, and then there's some lunatic crying at the window. It's like something's not adding up here. But again, it's everybody thinks that Cindy Stumpo, and I listen to it all the time, has the life. I don't have the life, guys. I work hard. I don't have a money tree. I go out there every day. I put my construction boots on. I put my jeans on. I put my T-shirt on. And I work like a nutcase out there. And if that's having the world by the balls, I don't know what people are thinking. I didn't marry some wealthy man, and I'm not flying off in my private plane to Paris. I am working for everything I have. I have supported my kids in a great lifestyle. They've had, I've had, all on my back. Not my ex-husband, mine. I was not going to rely on a man to put me into a life that I want to live. End of story. And when men and women can do it together, that's even better. But sometimes it seems in all our relationships, we go against the different personalities. So I'm the go-getter, you go after the easygoing guy. And if you're the easygoing guy, you go after the go-getter. It's so hard to find that those two people that share the same... You know, it's funny. Everything we fall in love with somebody, then we want to change everything about them. And that, to me, is the crazy part. You know, you're really getting on my nerves. Yeah, but I fell in love with that part of you. Cindy, what's wrong with you? I fell in love with that easygoing guy, and now you resent him for being easygoing. So needless to say, I'm in a really good relationship right now and have been for a few years.
And Ray is the only man in the room, I think, besides our audio people.
And
so Ray, kudos to you.
He's actually the first man I met in, and we've known each other forever. We go back until 16 years old, but he's the first person in my life that doesn't take. See, when you're a giver, all you surround yourself with is takers, which sucks. And if you're a taker, then you're a taker. I'm a giver, so I give. But for the first time in my life, it took me to 50 years old, or 47, 48, whenever I started seeing Ray, to realize I'm not the only one giving in this relationship. So that also helps in your career, you know? And if it means just somebody bringing that cup of tea next to your bed because you've had a long day, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. It's very easy to tell somebody you love them. That's easy. Don't tell me. Show me. I don't want to hear you love me. Show me you love me. So, again, the people that say, oh, Cindy Stumpo, and I hear it in Newton and Brookline all the time, oh, she thinks she's all that. I don't think I'm nothing, guys. This is what I am. I'm just you sitting up here working my ass off, trying to be successful, and have had that success and worked really hard at it. So I'm not any Yale graduate. My grammar sucks, okay? And I am who I am, and I like who I am. So the minute you guys decide to like who you are and accept who you are, then your successes will come with your children, with your babies, with your relationships. It's all being secure. And again, remember, I'm up here, and this is not what I like to do. When I leave here and I go to work, I'm comfortable. I wish you could all meet me on my job site.
She's awesome on the job site.
You would say, she's so different. She's so natural. She's so confident. Yes, I am. But we all have our places that we're not. And who are we kidding? And by the way, for my mental illness called panic attacks and crippling, I would bet there's a lot of people in this room that suffer from something. And if you don't, thank God again, but maybe your mom does, your dad does, a sibling does, a cousin does. Nobody has a perfect life. And anybody that sits there and says to me, I'm so happy, I go, oh, God. You know, oh, God, okay, yep, you're happy. I got the best husband, my kid. Seriously, who are we kidding? Let's call it what it is, okay? We're all as happy as we can be, and we're all doing the best we can do out there. But remember, if you meet somebody like me, or you're suffering from what I'm suffering, and you're going home and you're throwing a vodka back, or you're throwing a scotch back, or a glass of wine to kind of kill the pain, that's not the answer. The answer is to go out there and get the proper help you need for whatever is bringing you down. And I'm not saying, we all go through stages where okay, I'm not pretty, and I'm a little depressed, and I'm a little this, and I, but that lasts a week and you come out of it. That's not anything I would worry about. If you find that you're, this is an everyday lifestyle for you, you're anxious, you're having panic attacks, you're thinking crazy thoughts, you're not acting like yourself, go talk to somebody. Don't self-medicate with alcohol, because I find that to happen a lot with people, a lot, and not only with alcohol, but with drugs. Okay, so again, the panic attacks are more important to me than C. Stumpo development, because I should have failed. And I didn't let these crippling panic attacks take away my dreams. They do. They have their moments. And I'm not going to lie to you. They have their moments. Like I said, I'm stuck behind the wheel of a car. But what I don't do is I don't go home afterwards and I don't feel bad for myself and climb into bed and go, woe is me. I put the fight back on. I have that attack. And I'm back out on that road going, okay, who I'm going to go beat up
Get
next.
Out of my way.
Okay? So that's the difference.
I want to give, we have just a few minutes left here, and I would like to see, if, I'm sure some of you, we've got microphones set up. Is there anyone, you have a question for Cindy? Hang on, we want to make sure we can get over to you. So why don't you stand up, please? Oops. Oh, one person's already run to the microphone, but you've already stood up first, so.
I find that in the professional world, that's a space that people just don't talk about.
No.
Right, we all have something. Mine may be anxiety, yours is panic attacks. But it's just so refreshing to hear you just be so transparent and even to acknowledge at the beginning that it could happen during this setting.
We were prepared.
Thank you very much.
You know what? No, I appreciate you more saying that to me. Trust me. Because they do suck. They stink. So when somebody acknowledges that, you know, that you come through with that, thank you. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Hi, my name is Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
I wanted to just tell you that I'm now going to drive around Newton.
She has a black Range Rover, okay? Black Range Rover.
No. The question I have is about mean girl behavior. I still am in my 50s also, and I'm still suffering from the mean girl mentality. I also have a 23-year-old daughter, and I see it still happening in her life. I want it to stop, and would love to hear any comments you have about it.
You know what? There's always going to be those mean girls out there, okay? But we can teach our daughters how to handle those mean girls. They've been around forever. They mean it. Look, my grandmother was in a nursing home for 1 year because we, and anybody that saw Tough as Nails, Nana was taping Tough as Nails at 98 years old. And they were mean in the nursing home, you know, but not my grandmother. My grandmother is, she just passed last year, and you two would remember Nana on Tough as Nails. She was the bomb. I mean, there was nobody better than her. And she taught me, don't be a mean girl. Get your point across. But we're not going to stop those mean, entitled little twerps, okay? And unfortunately, those little twerps come from mothers that are big twerps, okay? And so the only thing I can tell you is we can all knock out the mothers. And then if we knock out the mothers, maybe the daughters will go, whoa. Okay.
I want to ask another question.
Go ahead.
The question over here.
The mean girls, we've got to do something with them. I haven't figured that one out completely.
Go ahead.
Cindy, my name is Daryl, and you talked about not being intimidated by men. When it comes time for you to price a job, in a way you're making a decision about what your worth is. At what point did you get over negotiating yourself down, if that ever was an issue? How did you become successful because you were able to appropriately price your work?
Well, first of all, my major in Wentworth was estimating. So that's very important that you really do know how to estimate your jobs, because if you don't, you will lose money. But I think your question to me is, if I'm not mistaking, your question is, did I price differently jobs when I first started out till now? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
I think it's about negotiating, too. Is that what you're discussing?
Yes, and part of the element of, well, okay, what is this job worth? And to a certain extent, because they're writing a check in the end to you.
Correct. So, look, you're 23 years old out there, and you're starting a business, and you are not demanding the money that I demanded 50. I have proven my track record. I have built hundreds of homes. I have never been sued in construction, not by anybody, not by a homeowner, not by a vendor, and not by a subcontractor. Okay? That's unheard of. Okay? So you might pay C. Stumpo Development maybe $30,000, $40,000 more, let's say on a $2 million project. That $30,000, $40,000 is probably the best money you'll ever spend, because with Cindy Stumpo, you get a lifetime warranty. My clients don't know of a one-year warranty, you know, when your 1 year, your house is done. My clients call me forever. So I think the question you're asking me is, yes, at 23 and 24 and 25 and 26 and 28, you took on because you had to. At 50, times have changed now. I build speculation and I build custom, so don't forget that. Speculation means I go and I build and I sell my own product. Then I build for developers. Then I build for the end user. End user is Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So why are you going to pick me over Bill Murray? But sometimes it's not about you picking me. It's about me picking you. If I find in that first meeting, especially when I get a condescending husband, when the wife is asking me brilliant questions and the husband's a moron, okay? And within 15 minutes of that conversation, I'm watching the wife's shoulders curl over, and I'm saying to myself, is this guy serious? He's in my office, wants me to build his home, and he is absolutely annihilating his wife in front of me. You're done. You're done. I don't want to build your house. I want nothing more to do with you. And then the couples that I meet that respect each other, and they both have input, and they neither one are putting each other down, those are the families I want to build for. So at my age now, I'm too old for the bullshit. So you know what? It's a mutual agreement. I'm going to do my estimating. I'm going to give you a good deal. The company obviously has to make a profit. I can't work for free. I do a lot of pre-work for people that need it. But the company still has to make money. And with age, and like anything else, with your product, somebody might have a jewelry line that's only worth $12.99 today, and tomorrow, and 10 years from now, it might be at Macy's for $399. Who knows? But that comes in with your business, growing your reputation, growing who you are, and estimating is very important.
Question over here, please. Yes? Are you in standing in line at the microphone?
No.
Okay. You are. Yes. Hi.
Hi. So my name is Jessie, and
hi, Jessie.
I'm a little nervous, so sorry, everybody. I'm a past carpenter. I was a carpenter for 5 years.
I'm and sorry. Then I sort can you say of, that? Say that one time.
I was a carpenter for 5 years.
Good for you.
And then I sort of, I worked with an amazing man in Maine, and then sort of lost my will to keep fighting the battle against men. And now I find myself missing that hands-on career because I've sort of stuck behind the desk. And the problem I'm having is networking with other women who are working in construction. And so I'm just wondering what advice you could give to somebody who's looking for somebody.
Are you going to like my advice?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to like it. Okay. I keep trying.
I'm going to be honest because I don't know how to be any other way. You let yourself down. You let those people intimidate you. You let people take you off your game. You need to find the strength to put yourself back in that game. Okay? We all get taken off our game. And we all can put ourselves back into the game. You cannot. You can sit there and we can talk. You and I can have a conversation every single night for the next 30 days and I'll give you my number. I can't give you that confidence to go out there. I could bring you on my team and you could come out there for 2-3 months with me and you can get your groove back. And I'll give you your groove back, trust me. Okay?
You gave me more than your groove.
But you, right here.
It's up here.
It's all up here. Anything you do, who took you off your game? Guys, people telling you you weren't as good, you're not going to make it, that should drive you more. See, every time somebody told me in my 20s or 30s, I'm not going to make it,
yes,
that was all I needed to hear. I'm not going to make it. I'm going to shove it so far up your behind. I'm going to make it, okay? So the push in me was people telling me I wasn't going to make it. So I would be happy to give you my card. And anytime you want to call me and you want to just say, Cindy, I fell down. It's okay. We all fall down. Pick yourself back up. If that's something you really want to do out here, and you want to be a carpenter, you go for it. And you let nobody stop you. Block out people. Just block them out. And stay in your own mind and go, I don't care with you. What does she know? What does he know? Are they living in your shoes? Are they in your head? Are they in your body? No, you are. You find that strength to do what you want to do. That's why I've put this out there. I deal with crippling panic attacks. I don't let that stop me. And trust me, you're not going to let that stop you either. Just dig down deep and say, I'm listening to some 50-year-old broad up there on that podium going, she can do it? I can do it. She's no better than me. I'm no better than you at all. The only difference is I'm focused, and I'm going to stay focused until God takes me off this planet. Or this menopause thing, I don't know. Which one is coming first? Because I got to be honest, poor Raisin for a fucking trip of his life right now. But for you, no, I see you. I'm looking at you. I'm a very good people reader. And I want you to throw a pair of construction boots on. I want you to throw a pair of jeans on. I want you to put a hoodie sweatshirt on. And I want you to put your hair in a ponytail. I want you to go in the basement of your house or whatever. And I want you to build something again. Okay? And go, you know what? I'm good at this. I'm going to try it again. It's never too late to try anything. As long as we can live, breathe, keep trying. And I know we're going to keep going.
And we are basically out of time, but I hope that all of you, in listening to Cindy's story, are going to be able to walk away with a lot of things, if nothing else, believe in yourself. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you.
Nice meeting you.